The
All
bride and Chris, this
lies.
is my daughter, Rien. Rien.
Rien.
Irene.
Rien.
Rien. You have to be on your best behavior today, Chris. We don't need you wilding out with Glenn's daughter on the phone.
No curse words, Brian. No, I'm just kidding. She can swear like with the best sailors out there.
Hello, my friends.
Thank you for joining us for the PepCac podcast, a weekly information security show featuring some all-around good people. It is week 12 of 2024. I'm Chris Louie, and glad I do not have pneumonia. With me, I have my co-host, the Cloud God, who finally fixed his Yeti after I touched it.
Yeah, it turns out...
Wait, I don't want to hear about what you're touching over there.
It turns out I just had to reboot the computer, the old Microsoft method to fix any computer-related problems. So, it worked out in the long run. And then back to your pneumonia and your bruised ego. I mean, that's all it was, the black lung, right?
Working in the coal mines too much, exactly.
Coal mines. Got the black lung, Pop.
Secondhand smoke from parents smoking in a home. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is also.
A ton of anti-inflammatories and some rest and relaxation.
That's the number
one. You
gotta
tell Grace to stop working you so hard.
She's cracking that whip. That's the number one reason why I don't think I ever smoked when I became of the age. Is my mom used to like hot box us in the back of a Ford Tempo, just windows up, smoking cigarettes. Man, I was like, damn, mom, I really hate you right now. Eventually,
my
though,
dad used to do the same.
Windows so, up too?
Except for a 75 Rabbit. So.
Dude, can you remember like walking into restaurants and be like smoking or non-smoking?
Yep.
Like the
cloud of smoke
sections.
Lingering over the smoking section.
I remember riding on a plane and they were smoking cigarettes.
Oh, damn, you're old.
Yeah.
I read about you in my history book.
I never had people smoking on the plane, but I remember when planes still had the ashtray built into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a safe plane if I ever got on it.
And we have Glenn Medina, or should we call him Taco Tuesday Glenn, or TTG. You getting some tacos down there in SoCal this week?
I think we have. Not tacos, but definitely salsa and the southern flavor. I think yesterday I had some margaritas, and the wife and kids had their drinks as well. So we were at a Hispanic bar. I guess I could say Mexican bar, but it was a Mexican-Hispanic bar. And we were going down. We were having was that nachos and some happy hour stuff. So, yeah, good stuff.
Good. Our guest this week is the second time we've had a relative of a host on the show. We have Rien Medina, Glenn's daughter.
What?
That's right. Woo-hoo. It's Take Your Daughter to Work Day. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I can see a slight
resemblance.
For those
of you that are listening. Yeah, for those of you listening, she's mid-20s and she's single. So,
oh, come on now, Dad. Shut up. For the record, I'm trying to get my son in this. So don't be advertising this out to all our listeners. Come on now.
Opening it up to everybody.
Yeah, she's a high-value woman, man. I'm telling you. I'm not going to have any problems finding a man.
Sure, she is.
So introduce yourself.
Currently the Director of Health Equity and Data Analytics. So that's quite the title there.
Yeah, I just run data analyses of patient compliancy in our company's health coaching programs, as well as the comparison or the correlation between Medicare spending and our patient quality of life.
So that's boring. Just tell people you do DEA. Is that the acronym that we can use? Or initialism?
I don't know.
DEA. Sure, so the Drug
Director
Enforcement Agency.
Yeah. Well, no, Director of Quality or something.
And analytics, right?
Yeah, DEA. Yeah. And we're there.
You can say DE and A, right? So, to officially not take that word or that acronym.
I think it's pretty rad.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, glad to have you on.
Is this your first like big girl job?
Yep.
Dang. And how long have you been there? Okay.
2021.
Okay.
During grad school.
Yeah, yeah. She started her internship there. So yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then they hired her on after the internship.
So is she your favorite daughter, Glenn?
She's my favorite oldest daughter. Just let's get that straight now.
Right? Yeah. So. Is she your favorite
Brian's gonna get him in trouble.
Daughter on the podcast?
She's my favorite number one.
She's your favorite firstborn. Yeah.
Yeah, she's my favorite firstborn. You know how that plays out, Brian.
And Rianne, how do you actually feel about that? Do you actually feel special? Are you the number one in daddy's eyes?
I just know that if he needs something done, he'll ask me.
Ah,
the other two won't do it.
I'm trying to Dr. Phil you two right now. That's not working.
Trying to do what? I'm
trying to Dr. Phil you guys.
Oh, no. We've been through that already. Yeah.
Well, combined, we have decades of information security experience in here, just not to educate, but to entertain. We've got 4 awesome stories for this week, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This week, we're going to talk about grandma getting raided by the police, your Ukrainian girlfriend is too interested in your work, for our third topic, a real-life Breaking Bad moment, and close with strange life advice. For our first topic, police who wrongly raided and ransacked an elderly woman's home looking for a stolen truck and guns with Apple's Find My have cost the city of Denver $3.76 million in compensation and damages.
FBI, open up!
Two years ago in January 2020, a truck went missing containing an iPhone and some firearms, and the owner used the Find My feature to locate the stolen truck by pinging the iPhone in it. The Denver police tracked it down to an area of 4 city blocks, and they chose to pick out a poor woman who was a grandmother and ransacked her house looking for the stolen items. Apparently, the police detectives did not know that the location accuracy was low, so the dot actually covered 6 properties in the area. For their negligence, the city of Denver was ordered to pay $3.76 million in compensation to the grandmother.
Wait, like,
they don't know how to use the iPhone feature. I mean, because it's big dot, little dot accuracy. I don't understand the 4 blocks or 4 dot area versus 6 dot area. It's like you could tell where people are. You don't need to be a master in iPhone technology.
Apparently, these two detectives didn't know the difference between low location accuracy and high location accuracy. They just saw. Yeah.
It must be Android users.
This poor woman's house just happened to be in the area where the truck was parked.
I mean, had this happened and she was like in an apartment complex that was like 10 stories, I get it. Like, they're off the hook on that. That's, you know, it could have been any one of these floors, but not someone's standalone house. That's just weird. Actually, no, this grandma, I read between the lines, and she's an enabler. So she's got a scumbag grandson that she just keeps helping him out, you know, whatever you want to do, here's some money for your meth and all that good stuff, and that's why they broke into her house, and that's 100% a lie.
That could be. It's one of those things, the police knock on the door and say, hey, did you steal a truck full of iPhones and firearms? Like, no, I didn't. And you would think they would believe her, but maybe you're right, maybe she's covering for her no good scumbag grandson.
I look at this and I don't understand why police have to ransack a house. Like, why can't you just gently move things over to look for things as opposed to like tipping bookcases over looking for things? It's like that I still don't understand. It's like you have all the technology in the world and the best thing you could do is toss a bed, right, and make a mess.
Well, I think they start off by looking for the obvious stuff and then eventually they're just like, well, remember that time we broke into the cartel's home and there was money in the walls? And then it just escalates from there. They just start kicking things
down. Breaking the sheetrock, yeah.
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 I guess the big brain move would have been to check all the properties first to see if they could find the stolen truck before ransacking this poor woman's house.
Could you imagine? Meanwhile, at a house 2 doors away or the next door neighbor's house, the 2 guys are sitting there going, this is going to be funny. And they quietly sneak away in another car.
Didn't that happen in like the first episode of Breaking Bad? Like, were they at the wrong house and then Jesse climbed out the window?
Yeah, Captain Cook.
That? Did you watch
Breaking Bad? Two light or two Breaking Bad references in this episode, guys.
And it's a record for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, wait. It's also when what's his name was in the RV, stripped down naked, and the fire trucks were coming or the police were coming and they drove by. Is that the one you were referencing, Brian? That was another one. That was another incident as well.
No, this is the very first. When he was I think Walt was trying to recruit Jesse when he was known as Captain Cook, and I think Brian's right. Like they raided the wrong house and he climbed out the window and he knew they were onto him.
Yeah.
I think I'm due for a rewatch. That was an awesome show.
I actually get to rewatch it. My daughter, I told her when she turned 15, we could sit down and watch it. So she just turned 15, and she's so excited. I don't know why, but she's excited. I mean, I know why, but she's my little daughter.
She says, my dad's the real-life Walter White. That's why I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, her nickname in volleyball is Cloquane, and her nickname and her name's just Chloe. Cloquane. I don't like that nickname. But it's got me feeling a little weird.
But I've actually heard both sides of this story, where even when someone can demonstrate that their stolen property is like inside a specific house, like the police cannot or will not go look for it. So this case is on the other extreme, where they're ready to kick in doors with dubious location accuracy. But I've also heard stories of the police won't do anything. Like the guy standing outside, he says there's a pinpoint dot. It's in this guy's house. I can see it in the back bedroom. Can you just go in and get it for me? And then like, no, we can't.
Yeah, I think there should be a cross or some type of balance. That's what's really hard, is like, you know, your stuff is there versus like it's a phone versus it's guns and drugs, right? So I don't know. But hey, $3.76 million, is that a little excessive? What do you guys see in that? What does that say?
It means there was probably $4 million worth of iPhones that they broke when they went in. I mean, if you come into my house, you're not doing $3.76 million in damages.
Yeah.
But I guess there's the whole compensation, like, oh, exactly. I can't sleep tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't correlate to the actual damages done. There's some punitive damages there, too, to punish them, to prevent them from doing things like this again.
I mean, on that note, if anybody at Mesa PD or Gilbert PD wants to come in and kick the door down my house, go for it. I'm ready.
You'll take the $4 million payday.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the lesson learned here? Trust it, don't trust it.
I mean, if it's an AirTag, give up. If it's an iPhone, I mean, at least you could have done is like pinged it, right? Like even when you're in the house, like look for the sonar sound instead of like destroying the house, I think.
Yeah. And even the AirTag, like I actually made that video where I find a lost device. The AirTag is accurate within inches. Like it says you're 2 feet away, 1 feet away. Now you can actually pinpoint exactly where it is. I don't know why they didn't do that this time to use another iPhone and say,
"You bastard!" Is that even for your like your own AirTag, or is that for?
Yeah.
So if it's
how I look at my wallet and keys,
yeah. If it's your own AirTag, you can make it beep. You can get
It's the only way we can find our Apple remotes in the house is via that. But if you're just being tracked, have you done that one? Where it's a third party? That's okay.
No,
I'm curious if that's very accurate.
So I have AirTags in the cars, right? And they're not mine. They belong to my kids because it's their car. And I get a message that says, do you want this disabled? I say no, but I never – I guess I should try and track it one day and see if I can find it inside of where it's at inside the car.
Yeah, that's something I never understood why Apple never added that. These things have been out for years, and there's no family tracking because we have the same thing. So I keep one of my daughter's backpack just – in the event that the kidnapper is dumb enough to let her keep her backpack around. And when I'm on a business trip and I'm gone for a couple of days, then her backpack just starts beeping for no reason because it hasn't checked in with my phone. So why haven't they enabled family sharing on this thing yet?
I think they have. I think
have they?
Yeah, I believe you can do family sharing on the AirTags.
Couldn't you just add the AirTag to your... Find my iPhone app
It's only for that one specific person.
I think it's for the only for the yeah the device owner the is owner. The problem.
Yeah. Man, you guys are so stupid. They do share it. I know this.
Well, you can share location, all but right. it's that whole they anti-stalking your feature.
Now. You can share the item.
Really?
All right, yes. I'll have to go check that.
You don't have to check nothing. Google mother effer.
Oh, heard of you're it? Right. Share this iTag and you share the person. Look, hey, Apple, great job. Finally.
Hey, Chris, I see it. Your ER has been accepted and approved.
It's no longer in the parking lot. Work. All right.
So, Rianne, do you like that your dad tracks you everywhere that you go?
I don't know if he actually uses it. I track him. We share each other's location. I'll see it, and he'll be like at a like Burger King, and I'm like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing at the bar at 3 a.m.?
Like, can you bring me back at like a milkshake or something?" Yeah.
Is Rianne the daughter that you share the food with? Like, you take pictures of the food that you're eating?
No, that's the youngest one.
The, okay. The youngest will be like, "Can we go get taquitos today?" And he'll say yes.
I love it. Did have another follow-up question this, but it's my brain is the brain fog is real today, guys.
Yeah, Brian doesn't have his pad and paper. Normally he writes down his questions.
What happened to the pills, Brian? You know, did I not take your pill this morning?
I didn't take my pills this morning. Oh, I know I was gonna ask her. So Rian, do you share your location with your friends, or do you just like do you like Snapchat and just use like the Snap Map? What do you do for sharing your location with friends?
With friends, I don't share my location at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's only if we're going out, do I share it for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
That's good practice. I share my location with Deej. Your dad taught you well.
Yeah. Yeah. I share my location with Deej because I trust him. I tried sharing it with Chris, but he doesn't trust me.
So. I don't trust you.
And Deej shares the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. You guys should know where I'm at all times.
That's right.
No, my kids
you guys
do
know
that,
where to collect the body.
My girls specifically, they'll share their find my iPhone type of stuff like with all of their friends and family. And then some of the older kids will do that with Snap where they will give the location so you can see them where they're at any given point in time.
I'm like, on the Snap map.
Wild. Yeah, on the Snap
map. Yeah, I'm more okay with the find my iPhone because I trust Apple's privacy a lot more than Snap's. Like, I know Snap is going to collect all that data and monetize it, sell it, target you with ads.
It depends on how often they use Snapchat. Snapchat will only update your location if you're using it.
So if the app is open, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's if you have it set to only locate when the app is open, but there's also the choice that's always on as well.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So you have to just select the right data, application right. policy. Yeah, the location data.
Yeah, because I've seen that. Like, I've been at a baseball game or something, and I'll see the kids in front, like, just pull up the Snap Map, and you see, like, everybody else that's at the baseball game. Like, that's a little too creepy for me. I don't want people knowing where I'm at, and I don't want to know where the people around me. I don't need to follow them on their social media accounts either.
And let's be honest, I'm only sharing this with close friends, not the rest of the high school, because the rest of the high school might know when I'm not home and do something to the house, right? So that's the only thing that concerns me. It's like, hey, don't share that with everybody.
So. One thing we've established, Chris, is that you're just a flat-out weirdo. you're just weird, man, especially in person. My God.
You know what they say, only the paranoid survive, Brian.
Yes, only the paranoid.
Ugh. It's not paranoia if they really are after you, Brian.
You and the glowies. You think they're all out there, don't you?
Temple OS. All right, for our second topic, a retired Army lieutenant is being charged with sharing secret information about the Russia-Ukraine war with a scammer he met on an online dating site.
Oh, God.
There's an old NSA ad that says your partner should not be that interested in your job. The work done at the NSA is so boring that anyone leaning in and asking for more information has to be a spy.
I would say on that note, literally everyone in our family does not work for Russia or Ukraine because no one knows what the hell we do. We established that earlier on.
Well, that turned out to be the case here. David Slater, a 63-year-old retired Army lieutenant, allegedly attended classified and top secret briefings about the war in Ukraine and then passed that information on to someone who he believed to be his online girlfriend in Ukraine. Slater met her on a foreign dating site, and after sparking a relationship with her, she would ask Slater to confirm some details like troop levels in Ukraine or verifying information that the U.S. knows about Russia and saying loving things like, "You are my secret informant, my love."
God, did he just get catfished?
He 100% got catfished.
No, he got... it be some dude on the other end, right?
Oh, it is. He got Sasquatch-fished. Like, this is not even real, and he fell for it. Why is a 63-year-old guy have confidential information? He should be retired.
Well, yes, he's retired, but he worked at as a consultant, I think, for the U.S. Army.
No, he might be retired from the Army, but if you're just I'm just saying retired. Like, once you're retired, you're not doing any consulting work. You're just
that's not true. That's not true.
Glenn's retired from
the Army. Once you retire from the Army, Once you retire from the Army, go ahead. I'll let you finish, Brian.
No, I'm just saying, if you're retired, you're retired. You're just done. That's what I'm saying.
That's not true. So in the Army situation, most of those folks join when they're 25.
Yeah.
After 20, 30 years. After 20 years, they're 45. After 30 years, they're 55. And typically what a lot of them
math
do,
is
and
I know this for,
I know this for a fact, right, is that many of them leave the military and go become a government employee. So, yes, they're retired from the military, but they go become a government employee or a contractor and then make five times as much on that.
I don't disagree with you. The math makes sense. I get it. I'm just saying, if you're retired, you just be retired. I just be done.
Yeah, like, you should.
Yeah.
You should.
Like, if and when I retire from Zscaler, you're not going to be like, "Oh, well, Brian works at Palo Alto Networks." But no, I'm you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I switched jobs. Yeah. I didn't retire. I switched jobs.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, this is like classic catfishing, right? I mean, you would think that a guy that is getting these types of briefings would know from a security control standpoint that no 20-year-old, 30-year-old is going to love you and ask you for information like that, right?
You clearly don't know what white privilege is, 63-year-old David Slater. That's the whitest name I've ever seen and heard. I'm just telling you. Why is that funny?
This dude had top secret clearance, too. Like, he passed the FBI background check, he passed the polygraph test, but apparently he could be squeaky clean, but he can't spot a catfishing scam from a mile away.
So there's,
he didn't pass common sense.
There's book smart, street smart, and apparently online smart. I think he's missing that last one, right? Is that a new thing that we can start saying?
I think so.
I agree. That should be something.
What do you think? Does that smell right, Rian? Does that sound right at all? Just by reading it, you're going, "Oh my gosh, what an idiot."
No, that just sounds horrible. They're saying things like, "You're my secret informant." Well, that should obviously raise some red flags.
He's an international man of mystery.
So what's the punishment for him? Does he get death by firing squad for selling secrets? Or not selling, but giving secrets away?
Hopefully no one died like that Robert guy, that FBI double agent, Robert Hansen. But if convicted, Slater faces up to 30 years in jail, so he'll be 93 when he gets out.
He'd be really retired, Brian.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this top secret stuff, though, I think sometimes is a little ambitious. They're like, "Yeah, we know what time the Coca-Cola is being delivered now." Like, it's probably top secret stuff like that is probably the information he's sharing, I bet. It's not like the KFC's, you know, secret ingredients.
Yeah. Or is it? Oh, I thought that got released.
What was that?
Are you guys not on TikTok? KFC's
That one dude, secret spices. Right? Yeah. Wait, the fast food
stallion.
Yeah, the fast food king, whatever. President of the fast food king's club. I forget what it was. Yeah, I haven't tried it out yet, but we'll see.
He thinks he figured it out.
Well, he's this.
I've never heard of. Go ahead.
He's this random guy that he has all this insider information about, like, all these different fast food chains, whether it's Dutch Bros, it could be, I don't know, In-N-Out Burger and things like that. KFC, like, supposedly has all this information on it. And he leaks it out, like, how to make it. He always says, come closer, or something like that. Right?
Yeah, and he zooms in, and he tells you, not that close, no, come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just gives away all the secrets for, like, Domino's and Raisin Cane's. And Popeyes.
And I think he's pretty educated. Either he's got his, like, his undergrad, but he's like, he works at, like, a pizza restaurant, right? But hopefully he's making a living off this whole, like, TikTok or online presence, because he's pretty interesting.
Did you know he's 27?
No. Are you trying to slide into his DMs?
No, I'm just saying. He's like, he looks like he's like 30, mid-30s or something. He's like my age.
That's the real top secret, Clarence, is all these fast food secret recipes.
Is he a chemist by trade, or is he the...
No. No, he's a pizza food delivery guy by trade.
Mm.
Just happens to have this following that does well for him. So on this, Rian, on this note, do you ever have any weirdos, like, try to, like, slide into the old DMs and be like, hey, how about you...
I don't use social media. Really.
Yes, you've taught her well.
That's good. I know. Glenn.
I just.
Good job, man.
Hate sharing my life now. Like, you don't deserve to know what I'm doing. If you are in my life, then you know what I'm doing.
Very select group. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Unlike me, I don't share any. Well, I don't do anything in social media anymore either. So
yeah, there's like people our age that like still overshare.
Yeah, like going on vacation and
it's like, please rob me
while you're on vacation.
Yeah. yeah, that was a big OPSEC thing I had with my kids early on. I'm like, do not post that we're on vacation.
Yeah,
until after we come back.
Yeah, so, I remember Michael Dell, you know, the founder of Dell Computers. His family got in trouble because his daughter just kept posting every time they went somewhere. She would post it, like, he spends millions of dollars on security every year. And then his daughter just posts like, oh yeah, we're at this resort in Puerto Vallarta today.
Come check me out.
And shut that down.
Yeah, I think my oldest daughter and then my niece have said that, like, people, like, dudes will come into their DMs and be like, I'll send you money for your feet pics, like stuff like that. Like, that's a real thing. Oh my god, people are weird.
Yeah, I believe it.
What kind of pics? They're
feet.
Yeah, I'll send them some feet pics. Give me some money. I'll send you some feet pics.
About to see some really hairy feet.
Yeah. Romantic lures are as old as espionage itself, used to facilitate surveillance, blackmail, and document gathering, but the difference now is dating apps permit intelligence officials and agents to hide behind false profiles with little penalty for detection. So even if these Russians get caught catfishing these people, there's nothing you can do because they're in Russia. What are you going to do?
You go to Russia and go get them.
It's the American way. You go do that, Brian. See how that works out.
Listen, Tucker Carlson over there, he'll do it.
Yeah. Send MTV over to that catfish show and see if they can catch them. They do a pretty good job.
For real.
Well, Glenn and I have to go and break Brian out of Russian jail, the gulag.
I think they would like me there. They'd be like, this guy's kind of rad. We're going to make you the second hand to the dictator.
He's going to be the official cloud god of Russia.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll come save you, Brian, if you get caught.
I won't get caught. Put Putin's head on a stick. Let everyone know who's the new leader. All right, now I'm dead.
Now he's on the list.
Not talking of paranoia.
Beep. You better beep Putin.
Be careful if there's someone KGB, with an umbrella next up to you, and then you feel a poke in your leg or something.
Yeah.
Just beware of that. Or some Novichok gas in a perfume bottle.
I just wonder how desperate people have to be to go online to find love. Like, there's just so many people in the world, you think, just go out and experience it. Like, why do you have to be weirdo and go on and try to hit somebody up? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
We have a friend of the show that's met his mates all online.
Hey, my little brother met his wife on Match.com or something like that. And again, I still don't get it.
So we have a friend of a show that met his date or his current wife online. We did?
Yeah, his current girlfriend and his ex-wife. He met them both online.
Oh, wow. Current girlfriend and ex-wife.
Is it the same
person?
Great
job, buddy.
I divorced her, but we still kind of like each other. Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you.
And all that on Christian Mingle, so.
Hey, you know there's an actual one called Farmers Only?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Farmers Only.
Yeah, well, just come out and say you want white people only. That's got to be the most segregated thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
There you go. Brian with his white privilege again.
Yep. Must have sheep to join, sheep or cow to join club. So,
I think they have like even jingle, farmersonly.com, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that and Our Time is the 50 and plus dating site. There's one for everything.
I think there's Mormon Planet for the Mormons only. What other ones? Are there any weird ones? I'm scared to ask ChatGPT on this one.
There's some pretty niche ones, I'm sure. All right, well, while Brian is looking up these very niche dating sites for our third topic, I was in Walgreens yesterday, and they have an ATM machine inside the store. Normally, I see an ad for the bank on the screen, but this time it caught my attention because it showed something different. In really big and bold letters, the ATM says, "This ATM is tracked with GPS." Now, I thought this was just a California or a Bay Area problem, but when I looked into it, I guess ATMs all across the country are getting ripped out and stolen. A lot of thieves resort to crashing a stolen car truck into a store and putting a chain around the ATM machine, then they drive off with it. The thought is that they can take the ATM to another location and take their time working to open it up and access the cash inside. And this was actually a plot point in the show Breaking Bad.
Could you imagine these guys? Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, go.
All the ATM owners did was just put an air tag
inside the ATM. Yeah.
Because it's cheaper than actually buying some GPS unit.
You hit the nail on the head. I thought, that's probably fake. There's probably nothing in there, right? Might as well just have a sign that says, "Beware of dog," right?
I know it's not the store that's on the hook, because the ATM is usually put in there by either a bank, or some of these ATMs are privately owned, and then you fund it with your own money, and then you collect those commissions that say, you know, this ATM charges $3 to get your money out, and then that's what you make. So if the ATM gets stolen, the owner is actually on the hook for the losses. I mean, the store hates it because they wreck the store crashing the truck into it, but the massive losses are usually on the ATM owner. So it's in their interest to deter these ATM thefts.
There can't be that much money in there that makes it worth the level of effort. Like, what do you think's in there? Like $5,000 maybe? If it was full.
More than that.
$5,000 to a crackhead, max. Though, you know, just for a little bit of effort, crashing a truck and tying a chain to it.
But $5,000 versus years of jail time, like that, the math doesn't add up. Like, if it was for a couple hours, you go to jail for a couple hours for $5,000, all right, sign me up. But if I'm going to do a couple of years, that was not worth it.
But do they really get a couple of years for that? Because if it's less than less than 10 in California, it's not grand larceny,
yeah,
right?
Not grand larceny,
so there has to be more than that.
You add up the charges, like the stolen car, the wreck, you know, crashing the car into the store. I'm sure it adds up.
Speaking of stupid rules in California, Portland just got rid of their all drugs are legal thing. They're course correcting over there. Did you guys hear about that?
Didn't work out as planned.
That's news.
They're like, wait a second, having all these people on methamphetamines in front of our schools and having to educate kids on what to do when you see a hypodermic needle, probably not that good of an idea. I'm surprised that they actually, I thought Portland would have been the last ones to do that.
I think there's a wave coming of people that are just done with the nonsense laws that are being passed right now. I think this year is going to be a big indicator of just how stupid some of the laws have gotten.
I think one of the early indicators we got was last week in San Francisco, there was an election. During the primary election, there was two ballot initiatives. One was if an adult is receiving government benefits like welfare or something like that, and they don't have kids, then now they now require mandatory drug testing. And that was a big sticking point for a lot of progressives that says you should not have to drug test to receive government benefits. But the voters of San Francisco, even the mayor, was advocating for it because they claim, well, now people are going to get the help that they need. And then on the other side, they're saying, well, we shouldn't make it harder for people to get their welfare. So that's one of the turning points. And then I think the other one was a pro-police measure. So San Francisco is one of the leaders of the defund the police movement, abolish the police. And now they did a U-turn with the huge spike in crime. And now they're going to have, I think, minimum staffing levels for police now.
So going back to the whole like drug testing thing, like that makes sense to us, right? At least I think it does. But there's some people that are just like, nah, man, just let them be on welfare and let them do drugs. Like, why should we stop them? Like, who are we? And that thought is like so foreign to me. I don't understand that at all. Rianne, this is where you chime in and say, no, I think people should be able to do that. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, I missed like a good chunk of that.
So going back to the law, sorry, and I missed a little bit of that, Chris. Like the laws that were on ballot, what were they? And just kind of recap.
The first one was if you're an adult receiving government benefits like welfare, now they require mandatory drug testing if you don't have kids. So I guess if you do have kids, they don't want to prevent you from getting aid for your kids. But if you're an adult and by yourself, they will now drug test you to get your government benefits. And then the other one was a pro-police measure. I think it sets like minimum staffing levels for the SFPD.
So I feel like...
So did they pass?
Yeah, they both passed, surprisingly, in the very progressive San Francisco. But they said, enough is enough. This spike in crime is too much. We need a course correct.
So let's be real. Like, if you're doing drugs and you have kids, you're not using that stuff for good. Like that's just like, I gotta have a kid now to be able to get my government assistance. I'm just going to knock up some random person, right? That way I can keep on getting my free money. I think they should test everyone.
I think this is like the first step, because if they went too extreme, it probably wouldn't have passed. But I think this is the first step, and then they'll see what the appetite is for that, and then they'll probably try to pass that later.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, on the Breaking Bad stuff, I forget, did Walt kill that guy and then he made it look like his head got crushed, or did it actually just happen on accident? He was trying to break open the ATM and it fell on his head.
It was like the accidental death. It was the meth head couple that had the kids. I don't, it's been a while, but I think like Jesse got kidnapped by this meth head couple, and then the dad, I guess, of the meth head was trying to drill underneath. He's like, they secure every side of it, but it's the weakest underneath it. So they tipped it up. He was drilling it underneath it, and then he kept insulting his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like, I had enough. And then she pushed it over and it landed on his head.
Yeah, I think you're right. Don't want to go out like that, guys.
Are we going to start doing Breaking Bad things inside our shows though?
We could make that a segment.
As I get ready to rewatch it, I think so.
Yeah. We should have a watch party. There you go.
There you go.
Wonder how accurate that GPS would be, that if they track it to the meth house, but they accidentally raid the house next door looking for this ATM.
It'll be another $3.7 million on the line.
Right. Damn.
Yeah, but apparently out in Arizona, Brian, I was looking up stolen ATM stories. There's a couple cases near out by you. So this isn't just a Bay Area problem of people just crashing into stores and stealing their ATMs.
Well, I believe it. People are dumb.
I think the problem is that it's not desensitized. The laws that enforce this, they're not as, the enforcement is not, or the punishment causes the enforcement to not happen, right? Like, hey, you get a slap on the wrist and slap and then get out of here. Like, but you just broke the storefront and stole a bunch of goods. A lot of these people are just probably being released the next day after a night in prison.
Yep. No cash bail. I was actually talking to my wife about this because even in the most dangerous cities like Oakland and, you know, to some extent San Francisco, like where there's tons of crime, like do you know what you don't see? You don't see bank robberies. And you know why you don't see bank robberies? Because that's the feds, and the feds do not mess around. Like the local DA, yeah. No cash bail, you're out on the street the next day, slap on the wrist. But the feds, they do not mess around. If you rob a bank, you're going to jail.
You know, I think, like I said, I think this is the turning point, right? Where people that get voted in, you know, mayor, governor, you know, the local politicians, I think there's an inflection point where people are just sick and tired of it. And no matter how much people say that they're going to take care of it, I think they just don't believe him anymore, right?
That's why I just say Boudin got recalled 2 years ago in San Francisco. He's like the most progressive. I won't throw anybody in jail. I'll throw cops in jail, but I won't throw, you know, criminals in jail. And then he got recalled because San Francisco says enough is enough.
But he stayed in office though, right?
Or no, they kicked him out. He got recalled successfully.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have Brooke Jennings now, which is, I would say, marginally better, but still not the DA we need here.
Yeah. Well, we still have Newsom. Thank God.
What?
So we still have Newsom.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's so funny. There's something behind your daughter, but it looks like she's pulling a strand of her hair out. Like, I'm done with this damn conversation. Oh, it's a lamp. Oh, okay. It's a lamp arm. Do you see that, Chris, or no?
I see it. Yeah. I see
yeah.
It. All right, for our last topic, and it'll be a rotating topic every week. This week we're going to talk about what's a piece of advice you received that initially seemed strange but turned out to be remarkably insightful. And having Rianne on here is actually going to be interesting because, yeah, let's see what advice Glenn has imparted on her, and maybe she hasn't realized it yet that this is actually really good life advice, but there's definitely some things along the way that I've learned that sounded odd at first, but I'm like, okay, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense now. I'll go first. My first one is, it doesn't matter if you're busy. It only matters if you appear busy. And this actually, I saw this happen in real life when my company was getting acquired by another company. They couldn't take everybody with them. And I know for a fact that, you know, certain people work their tail off, but either they work at home or, you know, nobody knows how hard they work. And those are the people that did not go to the company and they got let go. And then the people that always appeared busy but didn't actually do anything, they're the ones that got to go to the acquiring company. So it appearances matter for sure.
On the whole,
I would totally agree with you on that one.
On the whole appearances thing, I always tell my son, leave the house dressed every day like you're going to meet the love of your life.
Yep.
Always be prepared. Very true. That's a big one.
That's a good one. That's actually really good, Brian. Yeah. It's like fixing your bed every day, right? Mm-hmm. Be prepared for the day so that way at least you have one accomplishment made.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a football player that he said that. He goes, no matter how crappy your day is, at least you made your bed or something like that.
You achieved something. Yeah.
Yeah, Rianne.
I don't make my bed.
I'm start some good habits.
Do you have any more than just one, Chris, or you had a bunch?
I have a few, but I'll let you guys go. I don't want to monopolize the time, as you always accuse me of, Brian.
Yeah. I mean, it is your podcast. Anyways, I'll go first, and then Glenn, you can go. So buy a plunger before you actually need a plunger.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor for life, not just the actual physical plumbing needs.
I'll add to that. Buy more than one plunger. You need one for each toilet.
Yeah.
Because I'm not dragging that thing around the house. No.
I actually keep my plunger in the garage in a plastic bag. That way you don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do say, you know, advice-wise, Glenn is right, that you should have one in each bathroom. So if you have a guest come over, it's that you've saved themselves from an embarrassing situation having to ask you for your plunger.
Yeah. What do you got?
The only thing I can think of that you've ever told me.
What's that?
Do as I say, not as I do.
There you go.
But you do some weird shit.
Please.
What is the weirdest thing your dad does?
He hangs out with his two friends every week to do a podcast.
You won't get grounded, don't worry.
He says...
You get immunity.
He says not... He has a thing about leaving things on the counter. Like the kitchen counter.
That's
or
your
the
mom.
Kitchen
that's
table.
Not me.
No, that's you. That's you. And then you go around and say, like, who left this here? Who left that there? And you... leave your socks on the ground.
It's my house.
Leave your cup right next to the sink, but not in the sink.
Yeah. We had a conversation the other night as a family about how much electricity costs for, the part that they're paying at. And I kind of laughed. I was sitting there laughing with my wife because I went back and I was telling them, now you guys understand why I was telling you, turn the lights off in every room mm-hmm. as you leave them, yep. right? So you guys get that story. So we've talked about that many times. So,
yeah.
Remarkable insight that I'm trying to think of things that my dad would tell me. Like, things are common sense. Like, it didn't dawn on me until after I turned into adulthood. Like, things that are common sense to you and I aren't necessarily common sense to others. But damn, you know, if it's like, if I tell you, wipe the window, and you wipe it, right? I should not see streaks. I don't understand what was the malfunction there of you not being able to wipe the window cleanly and not leave streaks. So things aren't just as, clear to others in instruction, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's because you bought the generic Windex, Glenn. You didn't buy the brand name Windex.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It leave a film.
Yeah. Yeah. What else, Chris? What else do you
have? The other one I have here was, if it was easy, everyone would do it. I think that's good life advice for why certain jobs are high paying and certain jobs are not, and why certain people get those high paying jobs and why certain people do not, that they possess a certain skill.
On the, the level of effort, and it kind of dovetails into what Glenn was saying. I always say, like, if there's something that we have to do around the house and takes less than 5 minutes to do it, just do it right now. Like, don't procrastinate. Just get it out of the way every single time.
Yeah.
Those little wins, because you do that now, then you don't spend an hour later doing everything.
Yeah. And I'm the biggest procrastinator. I'm not gonna lie to you. So
yes,
I'm a huge procrastinator.
Leaves the cups next to the sink instead of in the sink.
Why do it now when you can do it 5 minutes before it's due? So
yeah, somehow he always pulls it off.
Yeah. What about always stand up to shake someone's hand. Yeah. I think if you sit down and shake my hand, you're a little... Excuse my language, Rian. Not a girl. Girls are fine. Dudes, get up. Yeah.
No, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Look me in the eye and shake my hands, right?
Yeah.
And shake it firmly. Yeah. Don't give me a limp wrist. I like that one, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you. Power shake. Don't go too far, though. We used to work with somebody that would shake your hand and then take a step towards you as a power move, and like, oh, now I just smell your bad breath.
And then you bring them in and just...
Yeah.
You clothesline them. Right, right, Brian?
Exactly. So. I don't like, I'm like, I'm an old white guy, and I don't understand, like, why men my age want to come in, like, the whole, like, high-five thing. I'm like, we're not that.
Oh, the dap.
Yeah, I'm not trying to doubt. Like, I don't know this thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, I'm not even going to try to pretend. So I'll grab their hand, and then I'll force it into a handshake, and then I'll give you a hug maybe. But I'm not trying to dab you up. I'm not. I don't got it.
Yeah.
You don't do the secret handshake.
So back in college, whatever reason, I had an enormous amount of black friends, probably because I like Tupac and Michael Jordan. But anyways, they were trying to teach me how to like do the handshake. And at the end of the handshake, you had to snap your finger. And I didn't know how to snap in my right hand, but you had to snap. So anytime I would shake their hand or dab them up, right, I would always snap with my left hand behind my back. So it seemed like I was snapping my finger, but I wasn't actually doing it because I didn't have the skill set to do so.
Nice.
Now you know.
Now we know.
Now you know.
All right, well, you continue to get great comments about our dad joke of the week. Dad joke of the week. This week, our guest Rianne is up.
Okay. Let me, sorry, give me a second to find.
It's always Rianne. Always Rianne.
What is the leading cause of dry skin?
What's that?
What?
Towels.
Dang, she brought the heat. That's actually a good one.
That's a good dad joke.
That's a genuine dad joke.
Yeah.
All right, to wrap things up, make sure you have the right house for Apple Find My. Your Ukrainian girlfriend shouldn't be that interested in your job. ATM smash and grabs are a thing now. And always appear busy. That's all we have for this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can find us all on LinkedIn. Links will be in the description. Follow us on Instagram at PebCac Podcast. Thank you to all listeners and subscribers who rate us 5 stars in the iTunes Store and Spotify and left us a review. We appreciate you all spreading the word to help grow the show. The best way to find us is to search for the PebCac Podcast in your favorite podcast listening app. My co-host Brian Deach and Glenn Medina and our guest Rianne, I'm Chris Louie. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next weekend. As always, have a nice day.
Bye, Felicia.
What? She's never heard the podcast. Bye.
She hasn't. She hasn't heard
two episodes.
All right, guys. We'll see ya. Gotta go.
Have a nice day.